Seven's Wild is a sci-fi and suspense audio drama with explicit language and adult themes. It's not intended for children, the easily offended, or easily offended children. Listener discretion is advised.
What follows are the audio logs recorded by bounty hunter Jack Dagger, contained within the black box from his ship, designated the Lucky Sevens. The black box and my logic core were jettisoned right before the fold drive core went critical, destroying the ship. There were no survivors. Loading audio file.
Captain's Log. Stardate 11579. Oh, who really gives a Goltar's scaly ass? I went through a bit of a dry spell, but I finally have work worth writing home about again. I mean, I'd write home if I had a home to write to, but that's not the important part now, is it? No. The thing is, that frigid bitch from Galactic Command finally got off her high horse and sent some work my way. I mean, yeah, I was supposed to bring the last guy in alive, but instead I brought him in as a pile of goopy bits. It wasn't even my fault. How many times do I have to tell people not to go wandering into strange caves out in the ass end of the universe before they finally listen? At least once more, I suppose, but... yeah, the hiring freeze Galactic Command put on me was lifted, and I finally have a bounty that's worth more than just a couple hundred credits. And get this, they're sending me after a real big fish this time. Reaver Deathfang. Real nasty piece of work, that one. He's wanted in every star system with a police force and a military presence. Current bounty is set at 25 million. With that much cash, I could set myself up somewhere nice and retire if I wanted to. I don't, but I could. Last known location is the Yargo system. Some backwater town known only for being a backwater. Doesn't even have a proper name on file. I'll sign off for now and update after I have a look around this little town called Nowhere.
Loading audio file.
Captain's log. So, it's been just over a month since my last log. I'm still hunting for Reaver, and I picked up a few leads in Nowhere. But I also picked up a couple of local bounties. Galactic Command doesn't give an advance on bounty work, and operating funds were getting low. I can't catch Reaver and collect the 25 million if I die of starvation or get stranded in the cold dark of space because I ran out of fuel. Not like any other bounty hunters out there have the skill to catch the bastard and collect before I do anyway, so I'm not really worried about competition. Regardless, I was surprised to see this shithole town even had any bounties posted. They actually had three. One for a missing boy, one for a wanted criminal, and one for a wild animal they wanted killed. Two of them seemed related, so I took both. Snatched both the missing boy and the animal hunting gig. Talking to the boy's family was depressing, to say the least. Poor sort, as you'd expect, or maybe you wouldn't. See, what you have to understand is that Yargo is really out in the sticks. If there was a bright, shining center of the universe, where everyone is relatively wealthy and has a good life, Yargo is on the other end of the universe from that. It's a mining colony, and Nowhere, as I've failed to describe it, is just a collection of houses, 10 or so, housing miners and their families. And then there's a general store and a medic who patches up miners who get hurt so they can get back to mining. It's a dusty, dirty place with scrub and dirt and not much else. Anyway, the boy's family, sad bunch, missing their probably eaten kid. They didn't seem to realize this, but I was fairly certain of it. I spoke with them as respectfully as I knew how. Asked how long he'd been missing. 2 weeks. Not looking good. Asked where he'd been when he went missing. Playing out in the wastes. Strike two. Asked if anyone else had seen or heard anything around that time. Yusef, who lives next door, had seen the beast carrying off one of his cattle around the same time. Strike three, dead kid. I thanked the family for their time and told them I would do my best to find out what happened to their son. The father pointedly asked, "And bring him home, yes?" I looked at him and just repeated my original statement. This sent the mother into hysterics, and I decided it was time that I paid Yusef a visit. He was the client for my animal hunting bounty, and he also might have more information on the missing boy. I knocked on the door to Yusef's house, and at first there was no response. I knocked a second time, a little louder, just to make sure I was heard, but after a moment there was still no answer. I was about to leave and come back later when I heard a scrape behind the door, a boot against the rough wooden floor. I placed my hand on the grip of my sidearm and flicked off the safety with my thumb. Sometimes these backwoods yokels get antsy. I called out, "Yusef, my name is Jack Dagger. I'm here about the bounty you placed." There was another few moments of quiet, and then a voice responded, but it wasn't the kind of voice I was expecting from a young miner in his prime. It was dry and hoarse and oddly monotone. "Do the job, and then I will pay you. Until then, we will not speak." I was perplexed by this, because normally clients are at least willing to supply a description of the target, and he hadn't given one on his bounty flyer, and clearly wasn't willing to give one in person. I decided I would go and ask around at some of the other houses, but I was greeted with much the same results. Every door I knocked on, either no one answered, or they just said, "We will not speak." The other thing that I noticed was that everyone spoke in the same dry, hoarse, monotone voice. My luck finally changed when I went to visit the medic. He was the only non-human on the colony. He was from a species that is colloquially referred to as golems. They're a rock people from the Inner Rim. Their home planet is a desert world near a red dwarf. Supposedly their rock-like skin evolved to help them from the infrared light or whatever. Their language can't be heard by humans because it's below our audible range and actually causes discomfort when it's spoken near us. So golems typically speak Galactic Common and adopt human names for use when interacting with us. This particular golem introduced himself to me as Frank. I introduced myself in turn and explained why I had come to nowhere, but also that I had picked up the 2 extra bounties while I was in town, and Frank let out a sigh of relief. Frank explained that ever since the boy had vanished, one by one, all the townsfolk had started isolating themselves in their homes. They all spoke in that same voice and refused to exit their homes. I took this moment to ask Frank what exactly this beast looked like. He thought for a moment and described it as a long, pink snake. He couldn't say how long it was, as it was always partially underground, but it was as wide as 2 or 3 men standing shoulder to shoulder. I swore quietly at that. I ran the options in my head, considering the scenario that they could be mistaking multiple creatures as one single beast. There could be a whole nest of these giant desert snakes living on the planet, and because they hadn't seen more than one at a time, they had assumed a single animal. You know what assuming does. It gets you killed. I asked Frank 2 more questions I deemed pertinent before I headed out. When did this creature first started showing up? And was it known to nest anywhere? According to Frank, the ore vein the miners had been working had dried up, so they decided to head into a cave they hadn't been into yet to prospect and see if it had any potential as a new mine. The moment they set into the walls with their laser picks, the creature charged them from deeper in the cave, grabbed hold of 2 of them, and drug them deeper inside. They were never seen again. As best as anyone knew, that's where the beast lived, out in the cave they had been investigating. I thanked Frank for his time and told him I was heading out to take care of the beast. I stopped back by the Lucky Sevens and had Millie, my AI, pull up any zoological records pertaining to giant subterranean snakes, but nothing seemed to match my mystery monster. So it seemed my plan was to discover and make extinct a new species. All in a day's work for Jack Dagger. I just wish for the people of nowhere it had gone that way. I unloaded my hover bike from the cargo bay, mounted up, and rode out into the desert. It was quiet, and the sun was sinking towards the horizon when I reached the cave Frank had described. I dismounted and inspected the ground in front of the cave. If there had been any tracks here, the desert had already consumed them. Deserts are always happy to swallow up any sign of life that's foolish enough to make itself known within their boundaries. I looked towards the mouth of the cave. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Do not, and I will repeat, do not go poking around in strange caves in the ass end of the universe. You never know what you're going to find lurking in a cave. Could be wanted criminals, could be some lost alien tech that vaporizes you, or it could be the nest of some man-eating desert snake. You get my point? Let me make it clear if I haven't. Stay out of the fucking caves. Ugh, I need a drink. Anyway, so I looked at this cave, and I knew I was going to have to break my number one rule. There was no way around it at this point, so I reached into my rucksack and I pulled out a headlamp and turned it on. As I walked into the cave entrance, I saw a few stalactites, stalagmites. I always forget which ones are the up ones and which ones are the down ones, but there were 4 of the bastards hanging from the ceiling. As I stepped into the cave proper, I took note of the fact that the floor of the cave was slightly damp, so I assumed there must be a source of moisture somewhere inside. I figured an underground lake or an aquifer, something of that nature. No wonder the creature had holed up in here. He had the only reliable water source for hundreds of miles. I made my way deeper into the cave. From what Frank had said, the miners hadn't gone in very far before they started swinging their picks, and then the creature had attacked, so I figured I should see signs of that soon. I wasn't entirely wrong, but something was off. Lying there on the ground were 2 laser picks, presumably belonging to the 2 miners the creature had snatched up. But on the wall nearby, I should see chunks of broken rock and some scorch marks from the laser picks. But in the light from my headlamp, I saw almost perfectly smooth wall. There was actually a small bump on the wall that almost reminded me of scar tissue. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not one for doing stupid shit that's going to get me killed. Well, at least not unless there's a chance of a decent payday after I survive. The chance of a decent payday after this particular hunt seemed to be dwindling fast, but I needed to know if I was out of my goddamn mind. I definitely was with what I did next, but I was right in my line of thinking, at least. I leaned down, picked up one of the discarded tools, and turned it on. There was a satisfying thrumming noise as the laser pick kicked on, and the haft started to vibrate as power cycled through it. Where once there was just a metal haft with a guru rubber coating to absorb the vibration, a green glow now emanated from the pick head made from hardened light. The thing was also roughly 800 degrees, thanks to the heat inhibitor, so not as hot as it should have been, but still hot enough to inflict a nasty burn to anyone who isn't careful. I gripped the haft with both hands and swung. The moment the pointy end of the pick made contact with the cave's wall, the whole place shook, and I almost lost my footing. But I'm the galaxy's best bounty hunter, baby. I looked at the wall, and instead of broken rocks, it was oozing a blue fluid. Before I had a moment to ponder that fact, the giant pink snake previously described to me came charging up the tunnel at me like a raging Thargoidon, and I managed to roll out of the way just in time. I came up out of my roll, laser rifle in hand, and started blasting. As I was unloading into the big beastie, it thrashed and slammed into the cave walls, and the whole place began to shake again. But this time, the cave screamed. It was a horrible wail that almost burst my eardrums. If the sound dampeners in my helmet hadn't kicked in, I'm sure it would have. As I kneeled there in the firing position, blasting the snake, these feelers... I'm not sure what to call them, but they looked like veins, came down out of the ceiling and tried to poke at me. I quickly grabbed a laser knife from my boot and slashed at them. The whole cave rocked sideways at that. I rolled and fell right into the snake, but it didn't seem to notice. The moment the shaking stopped, I quickly stood and backed away, keeping my rifle trained on the snake. But now that I actually looked at it, it was unlike any animal I'd ever seen. No eyes, no nose, no visible mouth, no appendages, no scales, nothing. It almost looked like...
Stop!
A voice came from the darkness. I quickly turned to illuminate a boy, maybe 10 standard years old, standing in the dark. He looked gaunt. His skin was pale, almost gray. His lips were dry and cracked, and his hair was falling out in clumps. Most troubling of all was that he had hundreds of those veiny things that had tried to attach themselves to me poking out of his skin. I can still remember the voice that came out of that boy. It wasn't his by any stretch. Oh, here, let me pull it up from my helmet's audio recorder. It's a trip.
Leave this place. Leave us to our feast, and you will not be pursued further. You are not suitable to become one with the Hive.
Creepy, right? So anyway, I did the smart thing. I backed out of there, nice and slow, while it was feeling generous. I got back on my hover bike, and I got a good distance away. When I turned back, the whole cave stood up. Whole fucking thing! I can't tell you how big it was. Massive, I know that much. That was no cave. I was in a goddamned mouth. And that was no snake. That was a tongue. A tongue! I mean, I don't even have the ordnance on my ship to take out something like that. The Sevens is just a light patrol craft. I mean, if I'm clever enough, I can maybe take down a cruiser, but that's a big maybe, and it would take everything I have. This thing had to be the size of a dreadnought, and would take as much firepower to bring down to boot. As soon as I saw that shit, I gunned it for nowhere. As soon as I got into town, I went to see the boy's family, but I was too late. I could see the tendrils running in through their windows. But oddly, the clinic still had nothing. No tendrils, no veins, no weirdness. As I was walking towards the clinic, though, it clicked. The veins had had trouble getting past my armor, and Frank's skin was made of literal rock. He was untouchable. Still, I doubted he was going to want to be the only resident of nowhere. I walked into the clinic to see Frank standing over the corpse of a man I didn't recognize, a small sidearm in his hand. He had explained that about an hour ago, all of the residents had gone mad, started screaming, and this man, the mysterious Yusef, had charged in and attacked him. He'd had to shoot him in self-defense. I told Frank what I had learned, and that I was getting the hell out of nowhere. He begged me to take him with me, even offered me 2,000 credits for passage. I was going to do it for free, but I suppose the other jobs hadn't panned out, and fuel isn't exactly getting any cheaper, so I accepted his offer. I told him there were two more things I needed in nowhere before we could leave. Information on Reaver, and to put these poor folks out of their misery. Frank nodded gravely and said he could help with the first thing, actually, but he would tell me on the ship, and I agreed. I recommended he stay here and hole up until I was done with my other work. I went from house to house, kicked the doors open, and quickly did the grim task I had assigned myself. While in the homes of Yusef and the boy's family, I helped myself to the payments for the bounties I had taken. As I see it, the money's of no use to them where they're going, and I more than earned it. As I reached the last house, an elderly woman stepped out before I could kick in the door. She looked me up and down, and in the same voice from the cave said,
"You have made an enemy this day, Jack Dagger. The Hive will come for you."
I blasted her between the eyes, and the force knocked her backwards so hard the body did a backflip. I'm sure all that hive stuff is bullshit anyway. With that done, I rushed back to the clinic, grabbed my plus one, got back to the Lucky Sevens, and we got the hell out of there. So that's that. I took two bounties, one to find a missing boy, the other to hunt down a wild animal. And instead, I found a mountain-sized what-the-fuck and mercy killed like 15 people. I did send a message back to Galactic Command, letting them know that there is an intelligent, kaiju-class parasitoid creature on the planet, and that they should impose a quarantine of some sort. But again, Yargo is in the ass end of the universe. So we'll see if they listen to me at all. With the way these things tend to go, they'll probably send wave after wave of naked, unarmed scientists on foot to try and study the damn thing and just end up feeding it or whatever. Either way, it's not my problem anymore. Frank told me that he wanted to be dropped off on the planet... well, I couldn't hear it. Something in Gollum. But Millie understood and set coordinates. On the way, Frank told me that Reaver had spent a few weeks in nowhere before all the hive shit kicked off. Interestingly enough, he was the one who suggested they should try the monster cave. Nice guy. Anyway, he had some sort of injury that Frank had tended to. He wouldn't tell me what, something about patient confidentiality. After he had healed up enough, he left. What Frank could tell me is he had seen Reaver loading up a bunch of cold weather gear he had bought from the general store. Cold weather gear, eh? Straight from a hot desert planet to somewhere cold. Now all I need to do is cross-reference possible destinations based on a starting point of Yargo and do a little detective work. Shouldn't be too hard, right? Dagger out.